All right, as we get ready to go to the Word of God, let's have a word in prayer. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day, this hour, this time, this moment. Lord, that we have the opportunity to come before your throne. And God, we have the opportunity to magnify your name and to lift up your name and to praise you and to glorify you. For there is no other name under heaven's skies wherein a man can be saved. And for that reason, we call out to you and we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, anoint this message and let it not return void, but accomplish that wherein that you have sent it forth to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. All right, look into the Word of God taken from 1 Peter and in the 4th chapter and in verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Amen. These words are plain. Judgment will come. The Bible tells me that every man, every woman, every boy is going to be brought into judgment. We're going to be judged according to what we do with the Word of God. We're going to be judged according to how we live by the book. Now, I know there's an age-old argument, and they preach till they blew in the face, and one will say you can get it and can't ever lose it, and some will say you can't ever get it. If they could ever get back to the Word of God and just take the Word of God for what it says, we see an entire denomination of people that says God never did give you the right to know where you could be saved or not. Well, that's kind of foolishness. But anyway, there's an entire organization of people in the world today that literally preach and believe that God has already determined who's going to be saved and he will not reveal it until judgment. That's contrary to the Word of God. There's a crowd that says, well, Jesus saved me and I didn't have nothing to do with it, and it don't matter what I do, how I live, it don't make any difference. If he saved me, I get to go to heaven. That's not gospel. You must be saved unto good works, and if those good works don't begin to happen in your life, then I'm going to tell you something. You didn't get saved, you just got fooled with your salvation. Somebody sold you a bad bill of goods. Somebody told you to shake a preacher's hand or to be baptized or join the church, and you never had no heartfelt conviction, because heartfelt conviction will bring you unto God. And the Bible says we must believe in our heart and we must confess with our mouths. I told a friend of mine just the other day when the person had said, talking about their parents, and their parents was in a denomination that didn't give them the privilege to know if they were saved or not. They just took a hope or a chance that they might be saved, lived the best they could, and hopefully they'd be saved. Well, here's what I said. Why don't you go to that person? And if you have a friend or you have a member of a family, are you today that are listening, if you are in one of those churches that have told you that you can't know for sure you're saved, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you how you can know. And I'm going to tell you this. If you, by the authority of God, choose to accept Jesus Christ, you can't lose. So listen, look at them and tell them this. And I tell you this today, if you believe you can't know you're saved, I tell you this today, by the authority and the Word of God, the Bible says you must believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. You can't get that out of the Word of God. Amen. It's written there, and it'll be there for time and eternity. It's already been settled in heaven. So you need to understand, by the authority of God, we can't erase it. We can't take it away. It's there in the book, and the book says we've got to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. And if we'll do that today, we can be saved. So I say to you today that if you're of that religion that says I can't know where I'm saved or not, or if you have a friend, here's what you need to say to them. You say this: My friend, if what you believe is wrong, then at the end you'll wind up in hell. But if what you believe, by chance, maybe it was right, what would it hurt for you to simply act on the Word of God? You can't ever go wrong by acting on the Word of God. You can't ever go wrong by believing the Word of God. You can't ever go wrong by professing the Word of God. And you need to confess, amen, as you believe in your heart. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that His Son Jesus was born of a virgin birth, shed His blood, gave His life so that you could be saved? If you believe that in your heart, then you need to confess it with your mouth. You need to simply say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I accept Him as my Lord and Savior. What would hurt you from accepting Him? What would hurt you? I remember when I first bought WHHV, our ministry, and purchased, and we went in. We had one of the ministers there. I'd been on for about 30 years or so, and I remember something I heard him say. He said, I was raised and brought up in an organization that told you you couldn't know that you were saved. He said, but listen, one day I found out that I could know. I'm going to tell you something. When that blood of Jesus is applied to your sins, when the glory of God comes down in your soul, and when God begins to bless you, amen, there will be a difference in your life.
Amen.
You'll know. Amen. It's called that blessed assurance. Amen. So my friend today, if you're not sure, you have a family member's not sure, get them to confess. Ask them if they believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Ask them if they believe, amen, that He was able to save this lost, amen. He was able to set free the captive, and they believe this with all their heart. Then tell them to confess it, amen. Confess it to a sinning world. Confess it to the world and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I accept Him as my Lord and Savior. It'll make a difference, amen. But as we press on, then we've got a crowd of folks that says, well, God's such a loving God that He's going to let everybody go to heaven. That's not the Word of God either. For the Bible says, amen, that sin, amen, because of sin, because of transgressions, because men and women choose darkness rather than light, because they will not accept Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Bible says hell is enlarged itself. Amen. Now we know by the Word of God that God did not create hell for you. He did have no intention for not one of His children to ever be lost. But when Lucifer arose in the portals of glory and said, I'll exalt myself above the Most High God, I'll take over, amen, and God had to cast a third of the angels along with Lucifer out of heaven, then the Bible said He created hell for the devil and those fallen angels, and we go there as an intruder. We go there and want it. The devil don't want you. The devil don't have nothing for you. Then we've had so many people that say, well, I won't serve God because I love the pleasures, and I want to go to a place where it's full of all those pleasures. I'm going to tell you, there won't be one drop. There will not be one drop of alcohol in hell. There will not be one. There will not be one order of cocaine or marijuana or crack or methane. There will not be 1 ounce of drugs in the place called hell. If you leave here needing a fix, you'll need a fix for eternity. If you leave here craving an old alcoholic drink, you'll crave it for eternity. But the crave will never be satisfied. And I'm going to tell you something. Those folks that suck their cigarettes, amen, an abominable thing, amen. Those that smoke those cigarettes and puff puff on those cigarettes, thinking they're getting pleasure and joy, you need to get rid of that habit, because if you go to all that off place called hell, you'll have a nicotine fit the rest of eternity. I'm telling you something. You need to get free of all the filth and the trash of this world, that the blood of Jesus purge and cleanse you and wash you whiter than snow. Get the joy of the Lord down in your soul. Get salvation. Get your foot on the rock and your mind made up, for there's nothing in this world worth turning around to see. I've got my eye on the prize that waits me by and by, and I'm not turning around. I'm not going back. I'm not going down because I'm going up. I'm not going back because I'm going through. Amen. This is the word, and the word will stand when this old world's on fire. The word will stand through eternity, evermore settled. It'll never fail. God said what he meant and meant what he said. Amen. Somebody shout glory. I'm glad I'm saved the old-fashioned way. I'm glad I'm saved by grace and mercy. I'm glad I've been washed. I'm glad it wasn't by the traditions of my fathers. It wasn't by some religious act or some religious rhythm. But I'm glad that I was saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He was the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. And by that blood, that propitiation, that price paid for my sin, I've been redeemed. I've been saved. I've been born again. And I'm saved into good works. Many say I can do anything that I want to do. I'm going to tell you something. Your want to got changed. Amen. And my want to is different than what it used to be. I don't want the things of the world. I don't want sin. Amen. I want the blessings of God. I want to drink from the fountain of living waters. So if this judgment first began at the house of God, and it's going to begin, every man will have to give account for every idle word and every deed. Man will have to give account for everything that he's done. And this will take place, and this will be a judgment of the works. The Bible says that if these works are for the wrong reason, they're going to be burned up. But where men miss this thing, Hebrews 10 and 27, amen, 10 and 26, Hebrews 10 and 26 says, if a man sin willfully after he come the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for him. This judgment of works, the unsaved will not be there. If you're not born again, you won't be there. So a lot of folks get this judgment mixed up. And they go back to this fable. They go back to this fable. A fable that says, well, God's going to burn up your works, but he's going to let you go in. Go ahead and drink. Go ahead and smoke. Go ahead and live like the devil. God's just going to burn that up, and he's going to let you go in. That's a lie of the devil. And the devil is the first person that ever taught it. Listen, we let these preachers get up that preach that they can live any way they want to, do anything they want to. It's literally come into our county and literally took this county over. It's literally took the churches of this county over. And I hope some of you preachers that preach that damned old ungodly doctrine is listening today. You better tell your people there's a judgment coming. And if they're not born again by the Spirit of God, I don't care how many times they shake your hand. I don't care how many times they've written a name on the church roll. I don't care if they're the high deacon. I don't care who they are. If they're not saved and born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, they're not going to heaven. And they're not going to be in this judgment of the works for the righteous saints. Only those that are born again by the Spirit of God are going to be in this judgment. And that judgment, yes, men is going to suffer loss. If you've just done it to please somebody, if you've just done it because you won recognition, you're not going to get a reward for that. But if you've got a pure heart, and you've done it because you love God with all your heart, you love him. You know, I ache a lot of time. I live in a county, in a town that is a hole that's forsaken God. You say, Brother Goat, how do you know that? Took 86% of the vote to put alcohol here, and the vote was won. And they say 76% of the population professes to be Christians. That means that it took a great portion of the Christians to vote alcohol in, but the drink here in the town of Hillsville. And you tell me, you Christians, you tell me, amen, you still smoking your cigarettes, still spitting your tobacco, still drinking, still partying, still boozing it up, still, amen, looking at another man's wife and still having affairs everywhere and every place, and you tell me you're ready to go to heaven, you are lying, amen, and the truth is not in you. You need to find an altar and get saved. That's the only part of that ungodly doctrine, amen, that I even have any idea that might be right. They'll cop out by saying, well, if they'd done those things, they wouldn't save to start with. Well, they hit part of that, and they was hitting 50-50. Because if they're doing those things, there's a good possibility they're not saved. But I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. You cannot like me. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to whitewash it, because you're going to stand at judgment and you're going to hear this word. Amen. And I don't want to be amongst the preachers that's whitewashed it and polished it and told people that sin is all right and told people that God's going to make an exception for you. There will be no exceptions. There will be no sin. Enter in. And I know the old terminology that they use and say, well, according to the word of God, you've been forgiven of your sins, past, present, and future. The blood did do that, but there is scriptures apply. There are scriptures apply today that tells you that if you're still in sin, there's something wrong. You say, well, now, Brother Gold, all the church is saved because God has already shed his blood and all sins are forgiven. That's not correct by the scriptures. Only the sins that's been put under the blood of Jesus. Only the sins that's been confessed. Only the sins that are acknowledged. See, this is the fallacy. This is the downfall. This is the doctrine that will doom America. This is the doctrine that America has settled down in the mud and a raw mar of sin with. When they asked Jesus and they said, you know, what's going to be the sign of thou coming in the end? What did Jesus say first of all? He said, many's going to come in my name and say that I'm the Christ, but deceive many. Find out if that man or that woman that's coming to you, find out how they believe on sin. One of the largest evangelistic associations in the world, I hear the person that runs that association say there wasn't a thing in the world wrong with socially drinking. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for anything else they had to say. Because if you're wrong about salvation, if you're wrong about sin, you probably will be wrong about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things. You need to stand firm on the word. And if it's sin, it's sin. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And you will go to judgment for it. The Bible tells us, you know, we've got to hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Right? But God didn't just, you know, say, we'll just pick one verse out here and one verse out there, and that'll be good enough. You know, just get a little verse here, and that's all you need. Just a little verse here and a little verse there. God didn't say it that way. That wasn't the way the word said it. And we can't just take the part that we like. A lot of people are guilty of that. They just take the part of the word that they like. They don't take the part that applies to the subject of it, and you take the full counsel of it, then that's what the Bible says. He said, declare a full counsel, not just part of it, but a full counsel. And as we take the full counsel of it, and we take the understanding of the word, then God can do something in our life. He can't, as long as we still got sin, he can't do nothing with us. Amen. We've got to come clean with God. But the Bible said in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter and in verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God's going to bring that into judgment. You will have to decide. You will have to decide. But I encourage you to be born again by the Spirit of God, and that comes through confessing Jesus, believing in your heart, confessing with the mouth, and having a desire to be purged by his blood. Not shoving it back in God's face and say, well, God, here, I've got saved. Now I'm going to go live like the devil because you've already forgiven my sins. I'm going to tell you something. You ain't saved and your sins ain't forgiven with that kind of attitude. The Bible says, little children, I wish you sin not, but if you do, you have an advocate with the Father. We've got to simply ask, confess your sins. And if you'll confess your sins, then God, he can purge you of those sins. And what shall the end be of that obey not the gospel of God? And if this righteous man scarcely be saved, I'm going to tell you, it ain't just a shoe-in. The saints of old had a battle. If you truly serving God today, you're going to have a battle. You're going to have a trial, and you're going to be persecuted. I ask God time and time again, why'd you leave me in Hillsville, Carroll County, Virginia? He said, because you're tough enough to take it. If somebody don't stand against sin, if somebody don't warn the people, there's got to be watchmen that's not ashamed to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in a world that our government has went to a generic God. That's reason they've dropped a lot of the fight. You know, they was trying to get God's name off of everything. So they found a new approach. And the new approach is use the word God as generic form. And that word God now in our government, in our state, means simply that we believe in a God. It's kind of the while the Alcoholics Anonymous with the AAA, and they have done some good work. Don't think I'm throwing off on the work they've done. If you can't come to Christ and get sober, you better get some physical help, because you need to get sober. And then maybe after you get sober, you'll have sense enough to hear the gospel and be saved. They were used to whitewash this thing. But the organization that I just mentioned, they simply expound it this way. There's a higher power. And whatever you depend on for that higher power, you can make the oak tree in your front yard that higher power. You can pray to that oak tree, and that oak tree, every time you goes by, give you strength that you don't drink. But that's going to leave you lost in the devil's hell. Good thing to get sober, but just being sober don't save you. It takes being born again by the Spirit of God. I've had a many drunk saved in my meeting that never drank to drop. One guy said he never dropped a drink, but I'm talking about never drinking a drop. Never putting another taste of alcohol in your mouth when Jesus sets you free and delivers you and saves you. Same with cigarettes. Most people can't. I've had people with the hundreds tell me, Brother Goat, I want to get off cigarettes. Well, you don't want to get off of them. You still go to the store and buy them. I believe in a two-step program. Don't buy them. Don't put them in your mouth. And you won't never smoke another. They ain't, your friends at $4 and something a pack is not going to buy them for you. So you need to come to that place that you don't have a desire of that sin. See, that's what salvation does. If you still desire cigarettes, I question if you're saved. Now, I know a lot of people get mad at me. Some of you will call me this week. Some of you will write me. And some of you will come by and shake a finger at me. I don't believe it that way. Simply here today, if you still crave your habit, and you put that habit before God, I question if you truly have heartfelt salvation. Come fill this auditorium up here this morning. I know it's a snow this morning. A lot of people couldn't get here. But when the sun's shining on a day that you don't have ice, come and fill this auditorium up, and we'll pray for you, lay hands on you, cast the devils and demons out of you, and get you free, amen, and let you walk in the Spirit, and you won't mind the things of the flesh. And I know folks are scared to death of that. They say, watch out, old brother Goat, old Bishop Goat. He'll put a spell on you. No, the devil's what put spells on people. But the authority of God, I cast them off. Amen. I cast out the spirits of sorcery. I cast out the spirits of witchcraft. I cast out every demon and devil in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. And that works. It's been working for me for 42 years. Soon be this September will be 43 years that this anointing has carried me, broke the yokes, and sets the captives free. We've established hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches all over the world under this anointing. Amen. We have, along with the help of the staff that works with us, and Sandy that's put a lot of work into the schools and colleges, and Donna Kramer and Sandy Hagen, different ones that have worked with the school part, along with Suzanne and those of my staff, my wife Jackie, that's put their heart and soul into this thing. God, through this anointing, has multiplied it into hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches and nations and countries all over the world, and multiplied through the states and colleges and Christian schools and all the different things that God has done through the anointing. This anointing works. If you're sick and afflicted, I heard a lady tell me yesterday, she said, or day before yesterday, maybe it was, she was talking about a member of her family that there was nothing nobody could do, and I started to say, get him in a church where the power of God's falling, where the anointing, and get him a touch. See, there's a lot of churches claim wholeness, and that's a bigger abomination than anything. And a lot of churches claim wholeness, but wouldn't let the Holy Ghost move if they had to. Because they've got eyes in their head that lust after women and lust after the things of the world, and they won't come clean with God that God can sanctify them and fill them with the Holy Ghost. You can't have the love of the world and the love of the Father in you. One, amen. One will overpower and overtake you, and you today need to accept Jesus Christ, amen, and let him purge you and cleanse you and wash you. You can do most anything to put on a show, but a fire show in the flesh won't work. It takes the anointing. We need to see those that won't deliver to come. If you'll bow down where you're at and ask God to deliver you. Those that wants to be delivered from alcohol, you can be delivered. Those that wants to be delivered from drugs, not just hard drugs, but drugs that doctors give you that put you out of your mind, that you can't think and you can't function. You need to be delivered from that ungodly addiction to those drugs. Those that need to be delivered from cigarettes or whatever habit you got, amen. If you'll, amen, come up under the anointing of God, you'll come where the power of God's at, where God quickens by his Spirit, amen, and where he delivers, you can be saved. I'm praying for a revival in this county. I'm praying for one in this state, this nation. I'm talking about one where God will be God, where the power of God will fall, and people will come on their knees. They'll tremble under the mighty anointing of the Holy Ghost. Listen, what I see before me in this county, I see people that's playing churches. I see preachers that's gone through the form and the fashion, but very few of them ever break the yoke and let God come down and minister to their people. You've got houses full of people and churches that a lot of them has been brainwashed to think they can do anything they want to, and because they belong to that church, they're going to go to heaven. I'm going to tell you, according to God, there's coming a time, and the time is. And if this righteous man scarcely be saved, then what is the ungodly and the sinner going to do? Where are they going to appear in this thing? I think you need to accept Jesus and invite him in your heart. We appreciate you listening today. God love you and God bless you. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, set those captives free and deliver is our prayer. that people be saved. Break the yokes of bondage and let people come and be anointed and be delivered in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.